Taxi! Taxi!
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Hi, dear. Chuck's the name. Chuck Edwards. You know, my sidekick, Red, he's a funny guy. And I mean funny peculiar, not funny ha-ha. Yeah, although he's dead as well. The other day he says to me that maybe he and me ain't giving enough thought to the higher things in life. How about that, huh? Red talking about the higher things in life. So I ask him what he's talking about, and he says that maybe when we finish work at nights, we shouldn't ought to go running around having a couple of beers. We ought to go home and study. Yeah, that's right, study. Yeah, I finds out that he's got a bee in his bonnet about going to night school. So I tell him to forget about it. I mean, well, what Red don't know now, he ain't never going to learn. No, but he insists. So I leaves him to it. Now, if he wants to waste his nights, that's up to him. Anyway, Myrtle is pleased. Ah, that's my broad, Myrtle. She's pleased. Because now she figures maybe I'm going to get around to taking her out at nights. Ah, that Myrtle, she's a great kid. Only like most women, she's got funny ideas on marriage. Me, well, I don't believe in guys getting hitched too soon. Nah, guys got to be old enough to put up with marriage, if you get my meaning, huh? And me, I'm just a kid still. At least, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, this night in question, I've been hanging around the rank for a couple of hours with no fare. It's getting late already, and, well, I figure it won't do no harm to take Michael to the new Greek restaurant that just opened in downtown Brooklyn. So I switch on my radio, and I talk to Michael. Hello, that you, Michael?
No, it's my good-looking brother who's in Vietnam.
Now, listen, honey, this is Chuck.
I figured maybe it was NASA looking for another war.
Now, will you listen? Hey, Michael, I was thinking, how's about you and me putting on the old feedback, huh?
You mean for real? Oh, you is a sweetie pie. Where are we going to wait?
How are you on shish kebab?
Shish? Oh, she.
It ain't a she, it's an it. Food, honey. Bits of meat on a stick.
Never heard of it. Sounds like an educated lollipop for cannibals.
That's about it. Anyway, I thought maybe...
Hey, Chuck.
Hold it a minute, Michael. Yeah, Red, what is it?
Night school is over. What about a couple of beers, huh?
Yeah, hey, that's swell. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm going to have some trouble with Michael.
What's that? I can't hear you. What did you say?
Listen, Michael, I got a rush. Too bad you don't like that Greek food.
Who says I don't like Greek?
Okay, Michael, I'll buzz you later, honey. Yeah, let's leave my cab here. We'll go in your jalop. Come on, let's beat it before Michael gets wise and calls back. You know, one thing Ren can't do, that's drive a cab. Inside of 5 minutes, we are in Gino's Bar and Grill on 45th Street. And Ren is telling me how come the night school racket is over, cut over.
You see, Chuck, I wanted to better myself, so I decided to take up French lessons.
Oh, is that what you've been doing at night school?
Yeah, French.
Uh-huh.
But I'll never make it. I decided tonight I'll never make it.
Yeah? How come, Red?
On account of, do you know that in France, kids this high speak French? Babies speak it. So where do I come in? Like, if they got all that many years practice and they still teach us French to grown men... I mean, I ain't never gonna get off first base.
Did you learn any French?
Oh, sure. I did pretty good.
Okay, talk to me in French.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Looks like from what I learned, all I'd be able to do if I got to France would be count. That's all I learned. What kind of conversation is that? If I met a French broad, all I'd be able to say would be, un, deux, trois. That's one, two, three. Great conversation, though.
Hey, you must be feeling bad about this French kick. I never heard you say so much in your life before.
I am feeling bad. I don't even know the French for parlez-vous français.
But that is French.
What?
What you just said. That's French.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, what do I need lessons for? I can speak it already. Hey, give us two more beers here, Gino.
You know, Red is a restful sort of guy to be with. On account of he don't worry if you never say nothing. Now he just stands there and thinks. What he thinks about, I'll never know. But that's what he says he does. Anyway, we sock away another couple of beers, by which time Red and me is feeling a little happier about the whole business. When this guy starts to talk to us. I suppose he's been sitting there right next to us at the bar, but I didn't notice him. Not until he started to talk.
Pardon me.
How's that again?
I couldn't help overhearing your conversation.
Yeah? Well, it wasn't nothing private. Don't apologize.
Judging from what you and your friend were saying, I take it that you're taxi drivers. Would I be correct in that?
In what?
Are you taxi drivers?
So what if we are? So what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
So why are you looking for trouble?
Fred, he ain't looking for trouble. Just pipe down, will you?
Okay.
Yeah, mister. We're cab drivers. So what?
Well, the thing is, I'm on my way to go bowling. I always go bowling on Tuesday nights. And I stopped in here to have a small drink. And, well, the time has just flown. I've been here about an hour, I'm afraid.
So?
So I'm going to miss my bowling. There's an important match on tonight.
Say, is that what you keep your bowling ball in, that little case?
That's right. Well, you see, I was wondering if I might not be able to hire a cab to take me to the bowling alley.
We're off duty. I'm sorry, mister.
Hey, hold it, Red. Look, mister, the thing is that it's double fare after hours.
Oh, that's perfectly all right with me.
Yeah? It is okay, then. What are we waiting for? We'll take you to the bowling alley with pleasure.
So the three of us leave the bar and we climb into Red's cab. It takes us just 10 minutes to get the guy to the bowling alley, complete with his bowling ball in that little brown case. And we charges him $5 for it. He don't seem to mind. He pays up without a murmur, like I figured he would do. So we drops him, and me and Red finds another bar, and we start to spend the five spot. Yeah, all in all, things start to promise a great evening. We go from one bar to another, and we are sitting in the punch bar, listening to some jazz on the radio. Now, I don't know about you, but when I begin to feel a little bit happy, that's when I like to listen to the old music. Ah, but the old stuff from way back, you know. Django Reinhardt, Jack Teagarden. Yeah, even Frankie Trumbauer and Big Spiderbeck. Anyway, in the punch bar, they're leaving the radio tuned to some station that plays the old jazz. And me and Red is listening to Fats Waller.
I love my coffee, I love my tea.
Hey, that guy sings great, hey, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, Red, he sure does.
Who's playing the Joanna with him?
Ah, that's him, too. He sings and he plays the piano.
Both at the same time?
Yeah.
Gee, let's have another beer.
Yeah, okay.
No, just me. No more for you. I'm driving.
Oh, okay. What are you talking about, you big lug? Two more beers, please.
We interrupt our program of jazz music to bring you a newsflash. The police are still baffled in what has come to be called the headless killing. The body of a man in his late 40s was found earlier tonight with his head severed. The head has still not been recovered. Police are anxious to interview a Mr. Peabody. Description, age 44, gray hair, small, about 5'6" in height, weight 150 pounds. Mr. Peabody wears a small black mustache, and police are anxious to question him regarding the killing. And now, back to our program of music.
Say, you hear that, Chuck? That sounded like a description of you.
Me?
Yeah, you. How tall are you?
5'6".
Weight?
150.
Yep, that's you all right. Pity you haven't got a mustache.
Why?
Well, because then you'd be Mr. Peabody.
So?
So then if you was, I could collect a reward. There's always a reward.
Well, I ain't, Red, so shut up.
How about that? Killing a guy and then cutting his head off. What for would they want to do that for?
Why don't you ask Mr. Peabody? I don't know. Yeah, I suppose so that they couldn't identify him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's pretty bright, huh?
You reckon, huh?
Sure. But what did he do with the head, do you reckon?
Now, how would I know, Red? Dump it in the East River, I suppose.
Yeah, but But you'd have to be sure that nobody saw you.
All right, listen, let's talk about something else. This is giving me the creeps. Bodies with no heads.
Hey, Chuck, I just thought of a joke.
You did? Red, look after it. It's in a strange place.
No, listen. If you was this dead guy's head, what song would you be singing?
I don't know. What?
I ain't got nobody.
Well, it gets to be quite a night. And by the time we decide to call it a draw, 6-8, Red and me is on cloud number 5. We gets in his cab and we starts to ride home to the apartment that we shares. Then for no reason, I take a look in the back seat. And there's this little brown case, the one with the bowling ball in it. Seems like our fare was in such a rush to be late for his bowling that he forgets his case with his bowling ball in it.
Gee, what do we do?
Red, there's one lesson I learned. Find something in your cab, take it straight to the police.
The Johns?
The cops.
You think so?
I know so. And look, there's a station house right over there. Pull over.
Okay.
All right, already. You don't have to sling me through the windshield.
You said pull over.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll just take the case inside.
I'll come with you.
Okay, then, come on.
Yeah, what do you want, sir?
I'm a hacky. So's my pal. We drive cabs on the downtown rank.
So?
Yeah, so some guy left this in our cab.
A bowling ball?
Yeah. Okay, see you around.
Hold it. Gotta open it in your presence first.
Okay, so open it. What do you want? Like maybe a roll on the drums, huh?
Well, a wise guy, huh? You just wait. Holy smoke. Well, for Pete's sake.
Clancy! Sarge!
Grab that guy. Grab the both of them.
Hey, what is that? What's wrong?
The lieutenant would like a word with you.
What for?
He would like to know, I'm sure. How come you're walking around with a bowling ball case with a human head in it?
Inside this case was a human head. And it didn't take the Johns long to decide that this is the very head that is missing in the headless killing. How about that, huh? Just how about that? My muzzle. And that wouldn't be so bad, except that they also tumble to the fact that I look just like the description of this Mr. Peabody that they're so anxious to question. And before you can say Deuteronomy 3 times backwards, I am in the interrogation room under the bright lights. And boy, am I really getting grilled.
Okay, Peabody, why'd you do it?
Look, for the 10th time, I am not Peabody.
Then who are you, Peabody?
No, I'm Chuck Edwards, the cabbie, you know, the hack driver. I ain't killed nobody.
So how come you're carrying a head around in a little case, huh?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, my mother was frightened by a headhunter.
Looking at you, that ain't hard to believe. How come you shaved off your mustache?
Oh, that? Well, that's on account of my boyfriend said it tickled when we smooched.
Uh-huh. You're one of those, too, huh?
What's the matter with you guys? Ain't you got no sense of humor?
Not when it comes to murder, I ain't.
For the last time, Peabody, are you gonna come clean?
What you guys talking about? I am clean. And for the last time, I am not Peabody. And furthermore, I demand to see my mouthpiece, my lawyer.
Okay. Take him back downstairs.
Don't I get to go already?
No, you can't. You'll be lucky if you ever get outside again.
So that's how it is, Myrtle. They're holding him for murder.
Murder?
That's right. They think he's Peabody.
Well, what are we gonna do?
I was hoping you'd have some idea. That's why I phoned.
This fella you picked up, you dropped him at the bowling alley?
Yeah. But I already been there. I couldn't find him.
Well, if you can't find him where you dropped him off, what about where you picked him up?
That was in a bar. Yeah. Maybe somebody there remembers him.
All right. I tell you what you do. You go down to this place. What's the name of the bar?
Gino's Bar and Grill. It's in Brooklyn.
Okay. I'll see you there in 10 minutes.
Hi, Michael.
Nice places you guys get to. Real class, I must say.
You like it?
No.
Oh. Let's go someplace else, huh?
Red, we are here to find this guy, remember?
Oh, yeah. But he ain't here.
Have you asked if anyone remembers him, maybe?
No. You figure I should maybe do that?
Ask the barman.
Oh, yeah, okay. Barman. Bud.
Yeah? What would it be?
You want something, Michael?
No. Ask him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, Michael. What was it I was supposed to ask?
Ask him about the guy, about Pete Bobby.
Say, buddy, me and my buddy was in here early tonight. We picked up a fare. You know who he was?
I beg your pardon. I know what you're talking about.
Red. No wonder he don't understand what you're talking about. Listen, Buster, earlier this evening, Big Ears here was drinking in this bar.
Oh, sure. You mean with Noddy, hey?
With Chuck Edwards, wise guy. A side guy joined the conversation. Happened to notice him.
No, I don't think I did, quite frankly.
Well, you remember this lug being here, did you?
Oh, sure, him I remember. And the other guy, Chuck, he comes near quite regular.
Oh, he does he?
Sure, but I don't remember seeing no third guy at all.
Oh? What's funny?
A Big Ears and Noddy. That's what's funny.
Yeah, well, though I doesn't know it at the time, Red and Michael, they're doing their best to try and track this Peabody guy down. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, what's happening? The cops is holding me. And it looks like the Johns are convinced that I chopped this guy up. Now, I ask you guys and dolls, me, who can't even go fishing because I ain't got the heart to put the worm on the hook. Yeah, murder they got me booked for. Anyway, Red and Michael, they question every guy in that bar. No soap. Nobody can remember this little guy. Then the barman, he gets a bright idea.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. How come you don't ask Droopy?
With that name, I know already it's no good.
Who? Droopy. Droopy, for heaven's sake, isn't he here every day? All day and every day, all the time.
Hey, I saw him in a picture once. Snow White and the Seven Hoods, it was.
Dwarfs, you lug.
Yeah, that's right. Is that the guy?
Say, is he for real, I mean.
Yeah. He developed an unfortunate habit in his youth, breathing. Now, where can I find this Droopy character?
Well, this time in the morning, he should be over at Sloppy Joe's on 18th Street, around the corner from Lulabelle's, you know.
And his name's Droopy, you say?
That's right. You can't miss him. He wears a beard and one of them black leather windbreakers, you know, the type the motorcyclists wear.
Yeah, sounds irresistible. Come on, Red!
Well, folks, they didn't find Peabody at Sloppy Joe's. And they didn't find Droopy either. But they finally ran him to it. Droopy, that is. He was sleeping on a bench in Central Park.
Hey! Come on, wake up already.
Leave me alone, will you? You cops are all alike.
This ain't the cops.
Well, then leave me alone before I call them.
We want to talk to you, Snow White.
No way. Are you being funny?
No. What's the matter?
Are you Droopy?
So what if I am?
There's a five spot here if you can answer some questions.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? Okay, shoot. What do you want to know, huh?
How come you only made that one film?
What's he talking about?
Oh, take no notice of him. Now then, earlier this evening, Gino's Bar. You remember this guy here?
Who, him?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that all I got to answer for the sawbuck, huh?
Oh, that's what you might call a qualifying question.
Oh, yeah, let me think. Yeah, he was there. He was there with Chuck Edwards. You know Chucky. He often goes in there.
Yeah. So they tell me.
Oh.
All right, that's the first question. Now then, and this is important.
Huh?
Do you remember the guy they was talking to before they left?
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
You do? How come?
Well, you gotta have a good memory in my business.
What is your business?
Bum and drinks. You gotta remember who you already asked, so you don't ask the same guy twice.
Yeah, that figures. Yeah. Well, this guy that he was talking to, do you know him?
Well, I don't know his name, really, but I once followed him home, huh?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How come? Was you gonna roll him?
Mister, do I ask for your business? Well, yeah, anyways, it was more in the nature of investment, huh? You gotta know where he lived, and you know, never know when an address can be useful. Huh?
Well, what for? How useful?
Well, if you know where the guy lives, then you know when he's out, don't you, huh?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
and when he's out, you could just call and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. You crook, you.
Do I get the 5 spot?
Sure. When you tell me the address.
Sherlock Myrtle de Cosa. That's my broad. You know, sometimes I feel sorry that I am such a heel with her. Ah, but she's always trying to get me tied down with this marriage kick. Ah, she says we have an understanding. Understanding. I keep telling her that don't count. A verbal contract ain't worth the paper it's written on, I tell her. Ah, but she keeps on trying. And I must tell you, guys and dolls, that it is times like this, when she is out trying to help yours truly, that I thinks that, well, maybe I could do worse than get hitched to Michael. Which only goes to show you how upset I must have been feeling, huh? Anyway, they gets the address out of Droopy, and they goes round to the apartment.
Guess he must be sleeping.
Then we'll wake him.
Okay. Hey, Michael. Maybe we should have got the cops to come with us.
Why for?
On account of, because if this is the guy, and he does live here, and he is Peabody...
Yeah?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I ain't scared of no murderer. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shut up, Redden. Ring that bell again.
Yes? What is it?
Are you by any chance Mr. Peabody?
Not by chance, madam. I am Mr. Peabody.
Oh, look, my friend and me here,
Hi, Mr. Peabody.
Good evening. I suppose I should say good morning.
Yeah, I know. It is rather late. This is very important.
Well, then, I mustn't be ungallant, must I? Do come in. You too, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Perhaps you'd like to sit down.
Well, we ain't staying long. We just had to find out that you was the guy that chopped the other guy. Hey, Michael, what for did you kick me for?
Shut up. I'll handle this.
Handle what, my dear? I don't know that I like people handling me or trying to. That's a mistake that my brother-in-law made, and I had to deal with him in no uncertain terms.
I'm getting out of here, Myrtle, before he starts getting his chopper out again.
Shut up!
What is this? You're not from the police, are you? I don't like the police. They interfere.
No, we ain't from the police.
Well, then, what is it that you want?
I'll keep him talking. You go around behind him and grab him. He's the guy, all right.
Okay.
What do you want?
Well, you see, it's about my boyfriend.
Who?
And,
this man?
No, not him.
Not him.
Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck. You see, the cops is holding him because they think he chopped some guy's head off.
Oh, I see. They think he did it, did they? That's nice.
Yeah, well, it ain't nice. Ooh, Chuck, look at this.
What?
This. Okay, Red!
Right!
No!
Now, tell me what we do before he chops me up, too!
Well, that was that. Moitlin and Red got Peabody down to the station house, and he confessed. He was screwy, of course. Anyway, that let me out. And was I glad to see the light of day again. You know, that Moitl, really, she's a great gal. One of these days, I might just get that little bit reckless and marry that broad. Hey, what am I saying? Well, so long, guys and dolls. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Taxi was written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed for Sonovision Studios by David Gooden.